Okay, well, let's look in Luke chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 1. And it was neat. I'm going to be talking actually about intercessory prayer tonight, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to teach or to start with these scriptures, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So verse 1 says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," this is Jesus, of course, "and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets." Now, this is before Jesus had officially called Peter and James and John his disciples. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, also known as Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And so when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. So we can be seated. So a few things, three things specifically, that I want us to notice about this passage. Number one is that the abundance of fish came when they obeyed Jesus and did what he said when he said it. So that, if you put up the first PowerPoint, Jacob, obedience and timing are both important. So not only that we obey what Jesus says, but that we obey when he says it, because there is a timing often involved. If Peter had said, "No, I don't really feel like, I've already washed my nets out. I don't really feel like putting my nets into the water again. Besides, I know there's no fish out there. We just fished all night and, you know, we didn't catch anything. So I just really don't want to do that. But tomorrow, Jesus, I'm going fishing anyway. So I will cast it out then." And no, he didn't do that. He cast it out when Jesus told him to. So obedience and timing are important. Number two, sometimes God will ask us, if you put up the next PowerPoint, sometimes God will ask us to do things that we've done before without results. Now, sometimes the things that we have done have had results. They just haven't had results that we could see. Like sometimes the Lord has led us to pray and we're thinking, "But God, I've already prayed and I have sought you and I have done this, or I have already tithed and, you know, I was still struggling, or I have already whatever." Sometimes we have to keep being obedient, and sometimes we don't see the results immediately in the natural because they're happening in the supernatural. But as we continue to obey God, we will eventually see results in the natural. Number three is sometimes God has... Number three is at times we have to ignore fatigue, our own knowledge, and distraction in order to obey God. Because in order for Peter to obey God, he was tired. He said, imagine, he had already been fishing all night, so he hadn't probably slept, at least not much. And so he had to ignore fatigue to be obedient. Sometimes if God deals with you to wake up earlier to pray or wakes you up in the middle of the night, don't be surprised. Sometimes you might wake up to get a drink of water or to go to the bathroom, and then the Holy Spirit will begin to call you to pray. Sometimes God will use those physical things to wake us up. Like I've woken up sometimes, and when I went to go back to bed, the Holy Spirit said, "Come away with me." Like it's like he said, "No, come spend some time with me now in the quiet." We have to say no to fatigue at times because our body might say, "No, I have a lot to do tomorrow. I really want to go back to bed." So we have to be willing to say no to fatigue at times. Number two, our own knowledge. If Peter had said, "Lord, we have already fished here. Like we just got done fishing not that long ago and we're tired." So we have to say no to our own knowledge as to what we see is happening or what we think will work or what we think has already been accomplished. And begin to see things. The Bible says in Colossians 3, "Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth." If you try to do supernatural things and only look for results and feelings based on what you can see and feel, you will miss out. But if you will set your eyes on what God is telling you to do, and in faith go, God, I believe that you're telling me to do this, so you're going to bring results. Man, you start getting excited. Like, as I've been walking, I'm just like, God, I just believe that you are stirring hearts. I believe that you are working in people. You know, it's not that, like Rick said this morning, it's not even about the fact that I am... It is about me, but only because I am being obedient to God Almighty, to what He's telling me to do. And as I am walking with Him, He is walking with me. And things are happening in the spiritual. And so we have to say no to our own knowledge. And last, we have to say no to distraction in order to obey God. I will admit to you, the Lord spoke to me about how much He wanted me to walk and or drive and pray. And there have been times that I have about gotten distracted and missed it. And so, you know, the Lord is good in that He will remind us sometimes of the things that we've told Him that we were going to do, things that He called us to do. Like, you know, we've had times when Rick and I, we were fasting and we felt like the Lord called us to fast. And I have put food in my mouth, forgetting that I was fasting and taking it back out like, oh, I'm fasting. Man, I forgot, you know, so that can happen. So we have to say no to distraction sometimes because things will distract us. Sometimes the things that God asks us to do are inconvenient for the flesh. But when we say no to the flesh to obey the Holy Spirit, we crucify the flesh and we focus on His kingdom. And most of us, I would venture to say all of us, need more time focused on the kingdom of God and less time focused on the flesh. The flesh, we don't have a problem focusing on worldly things. Like, that happens without us trying because we're surrounded by the world. We have to make sure that we are focusing our attention on heavenly things, on God. So, when we say no, though, to the Spirit and obey the flesh, we enable the flesh. We allow the flesh to become stronger in that moment. And so it's important instead that we say no to the flesh and obey the Spirit. So I felt specifically led. I'm going to read this story to you. It's from the book Becoming a Prayer Warrior by Elizabeth Alves. So she starts off saying, intercession is different from prayer in that it starts and ends with God. Because this is the neat thing about prayer, is like Rick was talking about this morning. Prayer is not just on your knees praying for a list of people that you know need to be saved. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is worship. Prayer is just sitting alone saying, God, I want to be with you. Like, prayer encompasses a whole lot of things. And so that's why I think a lot of people think, man, how can somebody pray for an hour? In this same book, the lady says that she was like working with this evangelist and his wife, and he was asking for intercessors, and he asked, would people volunteer to pray for 4 or 6 hours? And she was like, 6. And he was like, okay, how about you start with 4? And so she, okay, I'll start with 4. She said she went to the place where they were supposed to pray. She said, I prayed for everything I could think of. I prayed my heart out. And I looked at my watch and thought, surely my watch is broken, because it had been 15 minutes. And she thought, I am out of prayers. Like, I don't know what else to pray. And so that's when we limit prayer to just, I have to pray in my own strength and in my own words, everything that I can think of to pray. Then we limit God. Listen, the way that you learn to pray for longer periods of time is you make it about communion with Him. God, I just want to be with you. I might sing a worship song. Like I've said, I've been surprised in this prayer walking. Sometimes I have prayed in the Spirit most of the time. Sometimes I've just played a song and agreed with the song, like I said a couple of weeks ago. Like, God is a God of infinite variety. And just the same as I don't want to sit in exactly the same place and talk to my husband about exactly the same things every day. Like, sometimes I want to go on a date with him. Sometimes I want to sit in the living room. Sometimes, you know, we might sit at the table and have a discussion. And we might talk about different things. The same is true with us and God. And so communion with God encompasses all these things. One of those things is intercession. And this lady says, intercession is different from prayer in that it starts and ends with God. Sometimes we start off praying because we know that somebody needs to be prayed for. And then all of a sudden, it's like these prayers start coming out of you and you don't even know where they came from. You're like, I know that I did not just come up with that to pray for. I have prayed for couples sometimes, and I prayed a prayer for one, you know, one like the wife or the husband. And I, like, in my flesh, I think that was a really good prayer. Like, I should pray that again for the other one. And then when I go to pray to them, a different prayer comes out. And I feel like I need to pray something different for them. As we let the Holy Spirit lead us in how to pray, He will lead us in how to pray. So she says, you might be driving along and someone will come to your mind. Maybe a sense of urgency about a friend or relative, or even a person you haven't thought about in years. The other day, an acquaintance actually from high school, she lost her son very tragically about 6 months ago. And she just came to my mind the other day. And if it comes, and also with the words that you would say to that person, like you're not trying to conjure it up, but you just already know how you're going to respond. Listen to that. Sometimes, you know, I have waited, especially not if it's something like you just want to vent to somebody, like you're mad at them and like the words come, that might not be the Holy Spirit. Okay. You might want to sit on that and pray about that a little bit longer. But if it's like an encouraging word and something that, you know, that you just all of a sudden, you know exactly what God wants you to say to this person. And that's how it was with this girl. Well, we're just connected on Facebook. So I sent her a message through Messenger. I don't know where she is with God, but I just told her, hey, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you, that God has become so close to me, and I'm praying that you will find him as the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that started a conversation between me and her. And that's God. That's God ordained. And so we need to listen to those thoughts and allow the Holy Spirit to allow us to be intercessors for other people. If you have a dream about somebody, often pray for that person. Say, God, what do you want me to pray? So let's continue. Maybe a sense of urgency about a person you haven't thought about in years. This is often God speaking to you. Sometimes you will not understand why you're praying what you're praying. But as you're obedient to pray what you are sensing, God's will is done on earth. Sometimes God will allow you to know the outcome. Other times he won't. Your responsibility is to be obedient. I have had times where I felt like the Lord led me to fast, to go on a fast. There's one particular time I still don't know what the outcome of it was. And it was a stretch for me at that time. But I know that one day, I believe I will know. The Lord will show me what it was about. So sometimes we know and sometimes we don't. An example of this from my own life involves a favorite cousin I had not seen in about 10 years. I crawled out of bed in the middle of the night for a glass of water when a picture of my cousin canvassed my mind. Suddenly, I dropped to my knees and began to cry out, God, don't let Mike move. Keep him still, Lord. Keep him still. Oh, God, please don't let him move. Hold him, Lord. Hold him. Even though I was pleading on Mike's behalf with my words, I remember thinking, this is really ridiculous. Why am I praying this? The words then ceased, and when they did, I could not muster another word. So I got up, drank a glass of water, and started back toward the bedroom. Again, I fell to the floor and began to cry out with a grave sense of urgency. Don't let him move, God. Don't let Mike move. Stay still. Stay still. The words came to an abrupt end. This time I thought, oh no, this must be a nightmare. I had no feeling inside of me other than the feeling to pray. I got up and began to pace the floor, wondering what in the world that was all about. So don't assume that just because God is using you that you will know all the details and understand everything that's happening, because that's not the case. One more time, I took a few steps toward the bedroom when again, I dropped to the floor. Only this time I was yelling, get him up, Lord. Get him to run. Run, Mike. Lord, help him to run, run, run. Let him run, God. After several minutes, a calm came over me and I returned to bed for the night. The following day, I called my aunt to see if she could help me put the pieces together about my puzzling outcries the night before. She informed me that Mike was in Vietnam. The experience still made very little sense. Finally, a month later, my aunt called to read a letter she had received. The letter told how Mike, who was a pilot, had been shot down and landed in a tree. He had been warned to get out of the area as quickly as possible, but explained that just a few hundred yards from the crash site, he fell into a bush. Mom, he wrote, it was like I was pinned down. I felt like somebody was sitting on me. The Viet Cong came and were unknowingly standing on my pants leg while looking up in my parachute in the tree. They turned around and began to slash the bushes with their bayonets. It looked safe, so I started to get up and was about to run when once again I fell into the bush as though somebody were pushing me. I lay there for a couple of minutes when suddenly I had an impulse to get up and run. I heard a helicopter, so I sprinted through the wooded area, following the direction of the noise to an open space where I was whisked off to safety. The helicopter crew said they came in response to my beeper, and yet it had not been working when I was shot down. That, dear ones, is intercession. So, I believe that God is calling us to intercede for people to come to know Jesus in our community. Listen, salvation of people is not just about us making the right case and presenting the facts. If that was the truth, then we could just present the facts to everybody, and if we presented it into the right way, everybody would get saved. But we have all had experiences where we presented the facts pretty well, and the person still didn't get saved. Or sometimes people don't want to know the facts. Or sometimes you can't tell them that they need to get saved because they're not even convinced that they need Jesus. Like, and so in order for that to happen, we have to pray that people would have a revelation. Paul said that he prayed that God would open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. This is where it is a partnership between us and God. It's not just about me trying to go out and do it on my own. It is about me partnering with God. And when he says pray, we pray. And when he says go, we go. When he says speak, we speak. And when he says hush, we hush. And that's how it works better that way than for us to just go out in our own strength and try to do a bunch of things. I've shared with different ones of you that when we came back from district council a few years ago, there was a lot of emphasis that district council on getting outside the church walls. And I came home, we have got to get outside the church walls. We've got to do more outreach. We've got to. And honestly, it was like the Holy Spirit gave me a picture of pulling the reins of a horse. It's like he said, whoa. Because listen, we can go in our own works and do a bunch of things and give away a bunch of stuff and make a bunch of people happy. But if the Lord is not working with us and hearts are not stirred and revelation doesn't happen, then we have done a lot of good things and there are a lot of good people doing a lot of good things. But salvation is a different matter. We need God for that to happen. And that's why we pray. And I believe that's why God is stirring us to pray for people so that he can deal with their hearts so that then they can be drawn in. And then God will give us opportunities. I walked and prayed one of the neighborhoods across the street. And Saturday, I went to a yard sale because I was so excited. I was coming home from picking up Silas and I saw this yard sale sign. I got a lot of good stuff. I was very excited about that. But the neat thing was even cooler than that was the conversation that I had with the lady. Because we're just talking, and at the end of our conversation, I said, well, you know, me and my husband, pastor, I was talking about how we have 5 children and that we can understand where everybody is in the church almost. Like, you know, except for we don't have any grown children yet, but we're headed that way. So, you know, you got a kid going to college? We understand that. You got a kid in the nursery? We understand that. You got a kid in middle school and elementary school and high school? We understand that. You know, like, and so I was telling her this and she said, oh, where do you pastor? And I said, in churches. And she said, what does your husband look like? And I told her what he looked like. And anyway, he had gone into their barbershop. And so it was just a neat thing. I said, you guys should come sometime. I believe the Lord was stirring there. And so I'm just going to keep praying that God would begin to work in that situation. So I believe God is calling us to intercede. So before I wrap this up, I want to tell you 3 things about intercession. Number one, I don't have PowerPoints for these, which is probably good because it might have been the same one over and over after the way I did the last one. Number one, God sometimes gives the same instructions to multiple people. This is important that we understand. God is not afraid of repetition. Many times, how many times have you seen the number 3 or the number 7 or the number 30 or 40 repeated in the Bible? God is not afraid of repeating himself or of repetition. Sometimes, after I've heard someone speak or I've read in a book or I've, you know, gone to a conference and I hear somebody talking about how they fasted for 3 days or for 7 days or whatever, sometimes I have come home and a few weeks later, I feel an inclination like I need to fast for the same amount of time that I heard that person fast. Well, I can immediately think that is just already in my head, and that's what I used to think. I used to discount a lot of times when the Lord was speaking to me because I figured it's already in my head, and that's just, I'm just bringing back up something that I've already heard. This is the problem with that. God knew I was going to the conference. He knew that person was going to speak. He knew that I was going to hear. And so we can discount what God is speaking to us because we think we came up with it. But we have to trust the Lord to be able to get through to us because the truth is, all of the people that went to the conference heard the woman say the same thing. That doesn't mean that God called everybody to fast just because of that. So when something rises up in you, don't discount it and assume just because you've heard it before that it came from the flesh. Now, it's okay to say, God, is this really you if you're not sure? But many times, like as we get to know the Holy Spirit more, you will just know, like, God, I feel like this is you, and I feel like this is what you want me to do. So I want you to understand, don't discount it just because God is using other people or doing the same thing. God doesn't always reinvent the wheel. Sometimes he asks us to do similar things. I believe that sometimes it's because there's a process happening in the spiritual realm that we're not aware of. Sometimes he's taking us through a similar training that somebody else has done. This happens in the world all the time. Like when people go to boot camp, they all go through the same training. Why? Because there is a similar thing that's trying to be accomplished. So why are we surprised when God Almighty uses some of the same similar things to accomplish similar things in his children across the body of Christ? So we shouldn't be surprised of that. Also, he knows what it takes to break certain things in the lives of those we're interceding for, even if we don't. And he's not afraid to speak through other people. We see that all throughout the Bible. And so don't assume that God can't speak to you through a preacher preaching, through a conference, through something you hear on the radio, through a book that you're reading. God can use those things, and he can speak to us. Don't assume that just because you feel led to do something that someone else is doing, that you're copying them. That God often leads his children to do similar things. I know that's the one lie that the enemy uses with a lot of people about speaking in tongues. Oh, you're just copying somebody else. So if you've thought that, you know, include yourself with the masses, because most of us have thought that at some point. Number two, and this is the opposite. God often gives different instructions and does things different ways. So sometimes he will do things exactly the same way. Sometimes he will do things different ways. If we start doing things only because God did it a certain way last time, we can miss the freshness of hearing him and what he says to say this time. 1 year during the summer, y'all know we have two groups that go to kids camp and youth camp. And 1 year I felt specifically led that the Holy Spirit wanted me to pray during the services. Like from 8 to 10, I was supposed to pray during the services. Now, what's interesting is I only felt that for one group. And in my flesh, I could have gone, oh, well, I am now the camp intercessor. Every year, while all of the groups are at camp, I am to pray from 8 to 10. But that wasn't what. And in fact, one of the other groups, I didn't feel that. And I thought, and so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why did I feel it with one group and without the other? And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, there's somebody else interceding for the other one. I thought, well, okay. You know, I didn't feel condemned. I didn't feel like I needed to do it. Now, that's where we can make the mistake of getting in the flesh and going, well, God told me to do it last time, so surely he wants me to do it this time. We have to listen for the Holy Spirit and allow him to speak to us, because he will. And it's very exciting when he does. So number three is that God can work in spite of our doubts, but he calls us to faith. I want to read you this story Bible verses to close it out. Acts chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 5. It says, Peter therefore was kept in prison. Notice this part. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So Acts chapter 12, verse 5. He was in prison. Herod had already taken and killed James, the brother of John. And so now he had taken Peter. Well, probably the church was like, this is real. Like, James had already died for his faith, and now they had taken Peter, who was also one of the disciples, and they were concerned. So they are in constant prayer for him. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. That's so cool. See, he's still asleep. I mean, they had to wake him up. Like, that's just really neat to me. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. See, we don't always even understand what's happening. Peter's like, oh, I'm just seeing a vision. This is really cool, probably. But he had no idea that it was reality. Like, this is really what's happening. Probably because he had never seen that happen before. And we have this problem with thinking that we know how God is going to answer because of the way that he answered the last time, and he doesn't always. Verse 10, when they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. They went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Can you just imagine just standing there in the street in the dark, like, okay, I am free from prison. And there was just an angel that let me out. Like, so he decided to go. He came to himself. So when Peter had come to himself, I understand that, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered praying. So he got there while they are still having prayer meeting. They are, because remember, it's constant. They're praying all the time. You're going to see the level of faith that they had going on in this prayer meeting, that God was going to deliver him. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go, tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Now I would love to tell you that if this happened to me and Rhoda came and said, Peter's outside, I would say, yes, God has delivered him. He has heard our prayers. I knew it was going to happen. But the truth is, I would have probably responded just like the people did, because often we pray, but we still struggle sometimes with doubt. Now, it is awesome. Sometimes God will just give you the gift of faith. Whenever it happens and you're just like, I just don't even, like, I'm so full of faith, I just know that this is going to happen. Sometimes that is the gift of faith, that God just gives it to you as a gift. And you just know that it's going to happen. Because we have to build our faith. It doesn't just happen that way all the time. So anyway, maybe the people were astonished because although they were praying, they weren't sure how God was going to answer. Maybe they thought he's going to intervene right before the execution. Or maybe they thought he was going to do it by natural means. Like they were going to decide, Herod was just going to decide, you know what, Peter's not guilty, I don't really want him to die. In whatever way, they were surprised by the answer. But sometimes our minds can't come up with all the options that are open to Almighty God. And so we limit him by our lack of understanding. And so God can work in spite of our doubts. God didn't say, well, those people don't expect him to be delivered like that anyway, so I'm just going to put him back in prison. God worked in spite of their doubts. So I have been guilty of praying but not expecting God to answer. Lord, help us not to pray that way. But the best way to pray is always in faith. When I find myself praying and not really expecting an answer, that's when, like Rick said this morning, I need to get my eyes back on Almighty God. Stop looking at the circumstances of what I can figure out and think that I can accomplish, and look at who God is and his ability to accomplish it. Because to pray always in faith is always better. But if we are obedient to pray because God is calling us to, that is at least a step in the right direction. That's better than not praying at all. So I'm not sure, finishing with our first story, I'm not sure that Peter expected to catch a ton of fish when he threw the net out. I think really he did it because Jesus asked him to. I don't know if he was a little frustrated and tired and annoyed at the time. He didn't show that he was annoyed, but he had said, Pastor, we have toiled all night. But he did let down the net because Jesus told him to. I know that he didn't expect what happened. And so if we choose obedience, sometimes there's flesh being worked out of us in the process of our times of intercession. Our job is to obey. But even better is when we choose over and over in the midst of what God is calling us to do, to see with eyes of faith instead of with flesh. I challenge you, when God calls you to intercede, and I'm telling you, he is calling us to intercede for Camden County right now. Like, that is what he is calling us as a group to do. And I believe we are going to see results, and he is going to get the credit. Because we're going to say, God, we just prayed, and you did it. And that's awesome. So, instead of thinking how much more I could be getting done if I didn't feel the need to walk and pray or drive and pray, or how much I could be accomplishing if I didn't have to do this, put your mind on heavenly things. anything that we do for eternity is going to reap much better rewards than just doing what we want, even if it inconveniences us a bit. Obedience is always worth it. And that's the end. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us of truth that comes from your word. Help us to put it into practice this week. Help us not to allow our own knowledge or fatigue or distraction to hinder us from what you're calling us to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.